It's Erin,
Karen,
and Juliana, and this is Confessions of a Former Fangirl,
the podcast where two former fangirls try to turn a fake fan into a real one.
I'm so ready for this list. So this list, as I previously stated, is called Insane Storylines That Did In Fact Happen on This Show. The first one I had we've already sort of discussed, which was that literally one of the first things that happens on the show is Archie having an inappropriate relationship with a teacher at school.
You hate to see a teacher-student storyline on any show.
Yeah.
But like, especially at the age of 16.
Well, it just makes you think about, like, remember Pretty Little Liars? Like, Ezra and Arya. Arya's, like, so...
No, but I remember with Pretty Little Liars, people were my age when... It came out. I forget when it came out, but they were like, "That's so hot," and I was like,
"That show came out when we were like really started a trend."
And that's like you. That's so fucking irresponsible.
And not a single show says like this was like
gives you a feeling that it was bad. Very romanticized, of course.
Yeah, it's
anyway,
not in a good way.
Okay, so there's number one. There's a storyline. Love.
So there's the plot. So season one is like a murder mystery. Season two is like a serial killer hunt. The Black Hood is the name of the because he wears a black hood over his face. Wow.
The Grim Reaper.
Shoots people.
No, it's just a man.
You know that TikTok sound?
I don't know that sound. I'm so sorry.
Okay. But anyway, the town serial killer ends up being Betty's dad.
which ties in with the whole theme
of this show is like the hidden darkness. Like Riverdale is this perfect, idyllic, beautiful town, but really there's so much darkness hidden underneath. And, like, that's also a huge thing with, like, Betty's character. They're, like, she's like, this perfect little girl, but she's got a dark side. And so, like, they introduce, like,
she puts on a black bob,
and she's dark Betty. And she has sex with Jughead in her black wig.
Wait.
While she's wearing a black
wig. Not always, just one time.
She's 16.
There's a whole thing about, well, yes, go on.
There's an actual... character name.
It's Lily Reinhardt.
No, it's Betty. It's like Betty putting a black wig on. But they call her Dark Betty because she has a dark side.
Yeah.
So is this like you know in Spider-Man 2 with Tobey Maguire?
That's Spider-Man 3, I believe.
Okay, get your facts right, Juliana.
I've only ever watched superhero movies to make boys like me. So, like,
it's like an alter ego, but there's, like, Betty has this whole identity struggle where it's, like, is this who I really am? Because her dad is a serial killer.
It crosses the line where you're, like, is this just something she's using to explore her sexuality to, like, is this a mental illness?
Well, in season one, they introduced that this idea that Betty has like intense anxiety because like you see her holding her fists together really tight sometimes and then she opens her hands and she's got like marks from her fingernails digging into her and like she bleeds so and like her mother like medicates her. This is all in like the first season but they don't like explore it in a good way. And then there's a storyline that happens in I think like maybe the fourth episode of season one where these boys at school are like bullying all the girls basically and like slut shaming them, so they're like just Betty and Veronica decide to. There's one named Moose, and they're like, "We're gonna teach Moose a lot." I think it's Moose, or maybe it's not. No, it's not Moose. It's the other guy.
It's Chuck.
Chuck.
Oh my god. Chuck something. Veronica's like, "I'm not gonna be shamed by a guy named excuse me, Chuck." Whatever his last name.
Okay, but the fact that anyone with the name fucking Moose is like
Chuck Clayton,
like.
Chuck Clayton. But basically,
you need to get laid,
I think like, Moose is from the comics. Moose is like one of the OG comic type names. Chuck is way too normal for Riverdale.
Even
frankly.
Still, if your name is Moose, you do not need to be making fun of a girl for
Moose
having
is
sex
in
because
the closet.
You clearly are not getting any.
And has a secret relationship
Kevin
with Kevin.
Get together later.
Yeah.
So Moose is one of the gays.
But
Moose
yes,
is one of the gays.
So in this
Moose,
episode,
never mind. Love you.
they
don't love him just because he's gay, Juliana. He can have faults.
Yeah.
No, that's
true.
But anyway, the first appearance of Dark Betty is that episode where Betty and Veronica are like, we're going to get revenge on these boys. We're going to teach them a lesson. And they, like, lure him. I think they lure him to, like a hot tub somewhere. And then...
Yes, Ethel's. Yes. Ethel's house.
And... What's name? Ethel's last name?
This young girl named Ethel.
Hey, as a young girl named Karen, I understand.
Ethel is also played.
I'm so sorry. Ethel it's Muggs. Ethel Muggs.
Ethel's played by the actress who plays Barb in Stranger Things. An icon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can't remember what her name is at the moment. I know it starts with an S.
We love.
Is it Shannon Purser? Is that her name?
Shannon. Yes, Shannon Purser. But anyway, that's it. That's
they lure him. They lure him to this hot tub and basically are being like, "We're gonna hook up with you or whatever." And then Betty's wearing her dark Betty wig. This is the first appearance and like lingerie. And then he gets in the hot tub and she like steps on his head and like.
She pours makeup.
But then she like tries to drown him, and Veronica's
like, "You're going to."
Yeah. And then so that's where you're like dark.
Well, also
Betty.
Because she's calling him Jason, and Polly. She's referring to herself as Polly, God. Which is her sister's name,
who
dated Jason, who is Cheryl Blossom's brother, who died. And Veronica's
and basically
like,
what you find
stop.
Out is that Polly and Jason were the night he died. Polly and Jason were trying to run away together because their families didn't want them to be together. And then you find out later that Polly is pregnant with Jason's twins.
Yeah.
Twin. And also, not like, one, they're two. Cousins.
No.
Which I don't know if they knew that.
Yeah. The Blossoms.
But the Blossoms and the Coopers.
Whole,
so Betty and Cheryl literally? Are cousins. Are, like, distant cousins. They're not first cousins.
Yeah. Okay. Why? In every single goddamn podcast have we... fucking talked
there's
about
more
incest.
There is more,
yeah, but
let
this
me
is
continue.
Canon.
This is next
it's
on the list
it's not proper a episode show.
This is next on the list
talk about incest.
I literally y'all are gonna any of you that put incest
so
into
funny.
This fucking,
wait okay yes I'm, there is an actual incest plot line on
well
Riverdale,
it's not
correct.
It's not, I wouldn't say it's hard. Okay, let me Ooh. Just say it. Let me just say this. So Betty
well,
and Betty
is. My
Betty and Jughead dating. Also, we didn't say this before. Spoilers.
Oh,
Betty and Jughead
oh,
dating.
Oh.
Their parents dated in high school.
It's like gossip.
They find
girl.
Out
it's so
they
painful.
Share
also,
a half brother that their parents
yes,
that
yeah.
Betty's mom got pregnant with
no.
in high school and gave up for adoption. Then their parents start dating again while Betty and Jughead are dating, and then they
yeah.
all move into the same house.
Yeah. Yeah, but
they
themselves
are
not
related,
related.
But they share a half brother.
So
it's still so painful.
I would qualify that as an incest problem. I think that counts.
I'm gonna make a controversially yet brave statement and say I don't think that it, like is in like incestuous.
It's complicated.
It is complicated, but it
they
is
share
also
a half brother.
They share a half brother, but I think
but
it's
they
also
share
stupid.
Not a single gene.
Yes.
Okay.
So.
But I, okay, well, whatever.
But I think it's stupid to, like, move into the same house
yeah.
with two horny teenagers
they sort of, they,
each other.
It's a weird plot line
yeah,
where they sort of don't
parents.
Have a choice because somehow the Coopers lose the house and then Jughead's family gets the house for some reason. The Cooper's house.
It's, I will tell you what happens. Betty's mom is like, she's like, I need to move out of this fucking house because
yeah.
her husband was a murderer and she can't live there anymore. And so she's selling it. And Betty's like, I don't want to sell my childhood home. And then Jughead's
oh, yeah.
mom, actual mother, comes back into town and she's like, she's trying to get into the jingle jangle business and she also wants to bring her family together. And she's like, I'm going to buy us a house.
That's a whole, the drug trade of Riverdale is the whole plot. It's a huge plot line in season
yes.
three.
It's the whole plot. But she is the anonymous buyer on
right,
Betty's
right.
house. And then it's like this awkward moment where they're like, you bought my house?
So they all just stay.
Wait, can I ask a question about the jingle jangle? How does one, do you smoke it? Do you
it's like a powder.
Do you, like, inject it?
It's a powder. I think they
okay. you just eat it.
They eat it.
I can't remember.
Yeah,
it's like
a
pixie stick.
Sticks.
And then you just eat it. Yes! There's this whole plotline where, like, Veronica's dad buys the jail, Hiram Lodge. He comes, for season two, he comes to town. So season one, he's absent because he's, like, in jail for not fraud. Present. Probably. Yeah. Mark Consuelos.
Mark Consuelos!
Season two, he shows up. I forget what he does. I think this is more season three, but he, like, buys a jail in town, and then basically there's, like, this underground drug trade that they're making the jingle jangle in the jail, I think, and then they're bringing it to the nuns, or at the Sisters of Quiet Mercy, which is this, like, girls, it's, like, a reform school sort of thing, or it's like a home for like wayward children.
Yeah.
Cheryl gets sent there for conversion therapy in season two, I think, and they have to, and they all, the girls go and save her.
You are joking.
And then Betty gets sent there in season three for a little while, for no reason.
Oh, the gargoyle.
No, not to conversion therapy, just to the home. And then basically you find out the drugs are being like funneled through here, and they're like drugging all the kids that like are at the Sisters of Quiet Mercy.
A la Queen's Gambit.
There's a whole
I feel like there's a strong possibility that Aaron and Madeline got together and decided that all of this was true before this podcast, and are making it up as they go.
We haven't even scratched the surface.
Honestly, I wouldn't be mad. That's iconic.
I don't even think that I could come up with this many things in one show. I would say to myself, like, no, this is way too much. There's only four seasons. We gotta.
Well, then there's.
Wow.
I will also say every time you guys say jingle jangle, it goes from like a small wealthy town in like New York, Connecticut, to like straight to the North Pole, and then it like kind of comes down a little bit, and then every time you say jingle jangle,
there's like supposedly right back close again to Canada mind. Wherever Riverdale,
well, they film in Vancouver,
but like that the town of Riverdale, because at one point this is also on the list, when Archie goes to juvie for being framed for a murder by Veronica's dad. Basically, what is happening at the juvie that there is an underground fight club being run by the old rich men who own the juvie, and that the
warden.
They're all forced to participate in, and then there's these big events where they're like in these boxing matches, and like there's all these rich people watching and making bets. So Archie becomes like,
who will win.
And people like have died in these matches. They're basically telling them to fight to the death.
Passed out.
They're literally telling these like 17-year-olds in juvie to fight to the death.
Do you ever wonder to yourself sometimes like what like the CW is?
Oh, the CW is not credible. It's never been a credible.
We knew that station. Since Supernatural. Yeah.
It's
we
that,
but that for, that juvie yes. is where oh that famous God. Line comes from, where that guy's like, I didn't go to high school. I dropped out in fourth grade to run drugs to support my nana. And then Archie replies, well, that means you haven't known the triumphs and defeats, the epic highs and lows of high school football. Because Archie's...
Quite honestly, that is one of the best lines of dialogue I have ever heard in my life. Like, it lives in my head rent-free, and I don't need to watch this show.
It's the funniest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. Because he is so serious. He's like, wow, you dropped out of school to support your nana? You don't know shit, boy.
You don't know. But it's... And he's like...
You dropped out of school to run drugs for your nana.
And then all the guys in this jail are like, Archie,
you're right. Like, we're pussy-ass bitches. We don't know shit.
And then, like, the cheerleaders from Riverdale High School show up and, like, cheer for them. Because Archie's trying to unite all the juvenile outside the fence. He's trying to unite the juvenile delinquents. Through football, because they're all fighting so much, and he's trying to get everybody to be together so that they can like help each other escape.
He's a good guy. They're being treated horribly.
There is literally nothing in my soul that believes that a good man or a good guy would say some shit about high school football like that. Like, are you kidding me? I know it's a meme, and I know it in my heart and in
if I could fucking talk in my soul that it's funny, but no, I just am like, yeah. Why?
Yeah.
It's why? Anyways.
Okay, wait. I am. Let's continue with
the list. Here's my next one. It has to do again with the shared half brother that Betty and Jughead have. So, when they discover this, like, that they have a half brother, they're told that, like, his name is Chick. Or, like, his name was Charles, but he goes by Chick. And all of a sudden, he just shows up, I think. I don't remember exactly under what pretenses.
I have no idea why he shows up.
But Chick just shows up, and he's very suspicious.
Okay.
He's been staying in some sort of, like, halfway house, or, like, a creepy motel, and, like, it's implied that he's been, like, doing sex work to survive. Because he was in the foster system and never got adopted and then aged out and he kind of was on his own.
Oh.
And you're like, oh, but you're like, why is he here?
This is very scary. But you're also like, he is going to kill everyone.
And then like Betty's dad, this is season two, and Betty's dad is like, I don't want him around. He's also like, I'm a serial killer. And I'm this mad is like all kind the time.
I don't want someone to steal my attention.
And this is like my wife's I'm bastard child killer. And I'm killing all the sinners. So like, it's tense.
Now do I have to kill my wife? It's complicated for him.
So basically he shows up and he's really creepy. But they're like, but her Betty's mom is like, oh my God, my long lost son. I'm so happy. Like, she's come live with us. With she's obsessed kid. With him. And Betty's like, I don't trust this bitch. And he's, like, really weird towards Betty. He's always talking about how Betty's having sex with Jughead. And, like, he, like, basically encourages Betty to be a cam girl. And, like, he's, like, it's so weird. And you're, like, who? Like, you're, like, what is this? Like, what? And so Betty, ever the detective of the series, does
truly,
some...
Betty and Jughead.
Betty is Nancy Drew. She does some investigating, and she basically finds out that this kid is not her brother, and, like, that her that he knew her brother, but her brother died, and this kid is just some stranger, so, who's taking advantage of her family. So, basically, she, like, sends him away. She basically sets him up to go get killed by the Black Hood, which is kind her of father. Not cool on Betty's part. But she doesn't just know it's her dad yet.
Get him.
But she basically, like, traps him and, like, sends him off to be killed by the Black Hood to get him out of their lives. Which is...
A la Rachel Berry sending someone to a crack
exactly.
house.
Exactly.
Similar energy. Okay.
But then... Okay. So then, a little while...
Oh,
a little
I
while later...
You brought that up,
I don't remember
Karen.
When this happens. Season 3? End of season 2? The real
season
Charles...
Three, if I think it's, yeah.
Shows up. He's not dead. He's alive. The real brother
and
shows up, and he's an FBI
is
agent.
He's also a detective. It fits
so
in
the
perfectly.
Investigation runs in the blood,
and then you
mama.
Find out Chick is not dead. He didn't get killed by the Black Hood, but he's, like, in jail. I think they've somehow framed him for something. I don't remember.
Yes. For a small period of time, he ends up working with the Black Hood, because he's...
Oh, yes.
In season three, when Cheryl's mom sets the Black Hood to, like, murder them.
All these
in that
people.
Weird
yeah, that's
the
end of season three.
He's like, I was going to kill him, but then I saw a piece of myself in because, like, he's a murderer, too. And he's like, I thought we should work together.
Yeah. Oh, and then there's a scene. So then you see there's a scene where Charles, the real brother, is visiting Chick, the fake brother, in jail.
Yes.
And they're, like, dating. They're in a relationship. They, like, call each other.
What?
They call each other baby, and I swear to God, this has not been addressed since that happened.
No. I'm still
they have
wondering
never
where
addressed
we're
the fact that those the real brother and the fake brother were in love. Somehow.
But they are in
tears. I am literally crying real tears right now because this is sad.
I love this show. I'm gonna watch this show.
You should.
I
it's a lot.
Deal with this shit. Oh
yeah.
My God. This
wait, the next thing. So that's that. Crazy.
That's like a minor plot line.
Yeah, which is insane.
Honestly, so irrelevant.
Incredible. I think, Madeline, I would love for you to help me talk, like, about season 3, because I know you just rewatched it, and, like, season 3 was so fucking confusing, because there was, like, 3 different storylines going on at once, but the overarching thing was this game called Griffins and Gargoyles overtakes G&G, as opposed to D&D, takes over the town, and somehow everyone's, like, people are committing, or, like, sacrificing themselves, so people are committing suicide. for this game. And, like, people are, and then people in the town are having, like, crazy seizures and nobody can figure out what's going on. Madeline, would you, could you talk more about this?
Because let me take you into season three.
Please.
Basically what happens is, like Erin said, people are playing this game, Griffin and Gargoyles, which is, like, Dungeons and Dragons.
And then Griffin is also the name so of funny. My little brother, who is a famously friend of Pod. Shout out to Griffin.
Shout out. This is all about him, actually. No, I'm kidding. So
no, he's... Nope.
There's, like, a lot of death and, like, shady activity going on with this. Mm-hmm. So, obviously, Nancy Drew is on the case. And they're, Betty, like, we're gonna figure out what's going on. Yes. And, they basically find out, like, they end up going back to their parents because this is a game that started with their, like, original parents. Like, everybody, the main people's parents. Yeah,
their parents had, like, a club to play this game in high school. Oh,
there's an episode where it's, like, a mock of the Breakfast Club.
This is my favorite episode of Riverdale. Where, because the actors look like they were really having fun. And that's what I love about it.
They do look like they're really having fun.
They do a flashback where all of the young actors, it flashbacks to the 80s, and they get to play their parents. So they're all playing totally different characters. Yeah. And it's really fun. I love that episode.
That's so cool.
It's like, it's cringy because Veronica's mom and Archie's dad are, like, having a thing during it. Yeah. And then... Betty's mom and FP
and Jughead's dad. Yeah,
Jughead's dad.
That's in that episode.
So you're just like,
Betty's mom finds out she's pregnant.
Yes,
and so that was a great storyline for Lily Reinhart to get to do.
It was. Aww. She honestly did a great job.
She did. I loved her in that episode. She was great.
I did. So they played this game. They were in detention. It's a whole Breakfast Club thing. And they're like, unlikely enemies become friends. And they end up. They're bored and they finish their detention duties. So they find this game called Griffins and Gargoyles and they're like, let's play. And so at first it's just a board game they're playing. And then Cheryl's mom is like, let's move this to the real world. Like, let's do real tasks. So they like cosplay it. They like act it out.
Yeah.
And they end up putting on costumes.
They like role play. Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. And suddenly there's Ascension Night and they go into it. And I think Hiram brings drugs. And so they all take drugs except for Betty's mom because she's pregnant. Nobody knows. And so Betty's mom is like, I don't know if it was the drugs or if the evil was already inside of us. And then suddenly the principal is dead the next day.
Yeah. So there's this whole thing with the game where it's like you have to drink this like blue stuff and there's like two cups and one is like poison and one is not, I guess.
Yes.
And so like they're all freaking out thinking like one of them, someone's going to drink the poison, someone's going to die. And then it ends up that principal dies that night. And I think Betty's mom is the one who, like, discovers him because everybody else is, like, high. So, like, nobody really knows what happened.
Yeah. She ran into him when she was leaving because she was, like, freaking out because she saw the chalices in the bathroom.
Yes.
And then she's like, one of you murdered him. And then they're all like, no, we didn't. So then they just agree to never talk about it again.
No, we didn't.
So then, like, everybody in this town is getting obsessed with this game and they're doing... And they keep acting like they're going to reveal how everybody's getting obsessed and is being manipulated to do these horrible acts, but it's just like
it doesn't really make sense
why people are so committed to murder in this. Makes no sense. I think it has a little bit to do with drugs.
The water supply. I feel like that sounds like a Batman villain, but like I don't everybody
No, I don't think they're in the water supply, but I think Hiram's been spreading them around enough, and I think that's the reason for the seizures.
Yeah, because then people in towns just start having seizures. Like, there's a scene where the whole cheerleading squad has a seizure at the same time.
That's very weird.
And it's sort of not really explained how these seizures are happening.
No.
And then...
I think it's a drug.
Yeah, at the same time, Archie is like... Not there, right? Archie has like run away to Canada, Archie? And he gets attacked by a bear.
he breaks out of prison.
The whole squad helps him break out of. It helps him escape from juvie.
Which you're like, this could never happen. They're gonna he can't do this and move on with his life. That's
so then. Oh
work.
Yeah. So then, but, yeah. Jughead helps him like run away upstate somewhere and like brings him to his mother.
Just chilling.
And then they're gonna.
And his mom's like, "Oh, are you two lovers?" Yeah.
There's also a lot of queer baiting in Riverdale, but there has been a bunch of queer baiting.
There's a handful. Of course.
Like, Betty and Veronica kiss in the very first episode.
In the first
episode. In the pilot.
And then Cheryl Blossom says, this hasn't been taboo since, like, the 1940s. Get it together.
Oh, my God. Wait, why don't we have to mention? Because Cheryl, yeah, because Cheryl Blossom is like, they're auditioning for the cheerleading squad. And they're like.
And it wasn't spicy enough. And
Cheryl's like, you're missing the fire. And so Veronica's like, Betty, just trust me. And she kisses her.
Betty and Veronica have been reclaimed as lesbian icons by the lesbian community.
I think that in the comics, there's more of a curiosity if they're going to end up together.
There's a bunch of, like, panels where you're like, huh?
But I feel like, especially in the comics, it would make more sense if they got together.
I mean, I do think it that checks out. And especially on Riverdale, they can do whatever the fuck they want. I want to see that storyline.
And then Veronica goes, you wanted fire? Sorry, Cheryl, bombshell. But my specialty is ice.
No sense.
I love that.
Let's keep going with this list because it's
If season three,
I don't even. Yeah.
Well, season three, there's also Season three is also the farm.
Oh my God.
Season three, a cult called the Farm that is run by Chad Michael Murray infiltrates the
town. Yes.
Chad Michael Murray is the Man cult leader named Edgar Evernever.
Yes. And they like
Betty's mom is like trauma central because
Betty's mom is she's so mean to
Betty. But you find out it's because she was just going undercover into the cult, so she couldn't break her cover.
Doesn't connect.
But, like, she gets fully indoctrinated, and, like, all these people in town are joining this cult called The Farm. And like Betty is suspicious. And her sister, Polly, also joins The Farm, and that's where her sister actually gives birth to the twins. Betty has this hallucination that the members of The Farm are, like, throwing the twins into a fire. And then she has, like, a seizure.
And she faints.
And it's, like, this whole crazy thing. So Betty is, like, she's, like, losing her mind this season because her mom and sister are both in this cult and she, like, doesn't know what to do.
And she faints a lot. Her mom
sends her to go be with the Sisters of Quiet Mercy. And she's like, we're doing it to protect you, Betty. Like, or some bullshit. And, like, Betty's like, what the fuck? And then Betty's like, they're drugging us. Like, I'm not protected here. And I'm being Ethel drugged.
Ethel is there. And Ethel is, like, in love with the Gargoyle King.
And then so the whole thing is that the Gargoyle King from Griffins and Gargoyles is like showing up, and it's just like this big costume of like a tree man
the sentence Ethel is in love with.
And like, Ethel wants to steal Jughead from Betty, which is really funny.
Yes, Ethel's trying to steal Jughead from Betty, and she like blackmails him into kissing her while they're playing the game, and then she tells Betty, and Betty's like, I know you blackmailed him, he would never do that to me.
Well, the whole reason that Ethel's in love with the Gargoyle King is because the Sisters of Quiet Mercy are drugging the kids to keep them compliant, basically. And so they have this, like, gargoyle statue in this, like, creepy room. So they, like, drug them, and then they send them to the gargoyle statue, so they're hallucinating that it's the Gargoyle King that's gonna hurt them, so then they, like, stay in line.
Yes. But there...
Classic Catholic move.
It is. But there is somebody running around Riverdale dressed as the Gargoyle King.
In a costume,
which is a
also.
Whole other subplot.
Which is
and Ethel
insane.
Says that it's Jason Blossom, who, if you will remember, is dead, and it turns out to be Chick, who Cheryl's mom has groomed to be her replacement for Jason, and then obviously is
I
truly don't understand how they fit all these plot lines into
and
episodes.
It, like,
is it like, an hour?
It's an hour or like 48 minutes.
Yeah, couldn't
minutes.
Be a half hour.
Okay. But
could
even
never
so,
be.
I know.
Wait, can I ask one more question about the cult? Is it a religious cult or just like a self?
It's like it's weirdly religious, but there's like no religion. It's
it's like religious themes, but it feels more like a self-help cult. Like everybody who gets into it has Betty's mom is all upset about like her son dying.
Oh, and it's so fucked up because they like Cheryl gets basically like indoctrinated to the cult because she's like, they let me see Jason, and you're like, what? Jason's dead. And I think it's like the cult is also drugging them and
giving them hallucinations,
making them hallucinate, and they're doing like hypnosis sort of.
Yeah.
So they make Betty believe that she's like fucked up because they make her sister. So they bring in someone who looks like similar to who they need you to see. And since you're drugged and like in hypnosis, you think it's so Betty's sister is doing this, which is so fucked up. Fuck Polly.
Polly honestly is not a good person.
Not a good person. She's
shady the whole time.
And so they make like Betty see herself, but it's Polly, but it feels so real. And she's saying these terrible things. And she's saying that, oh, they make her think that she killed her pet cat when she was a child.
Yeah.
Because there's this whole thing where Betty finds out that she has like the same serial killer gene as that her father has. So they're making her think that she's like inherently bad and like whatever. And then so they do the same thing to Cheryl, but they let her see Jason. And the way they did that is they dug up Jason's dead body and put it in a wheelchair. And so then she gets to see Jason.
Hold on to that when, because it comes back in season 2.
When they drug her and hypnotize her.
I hate this show.
Yes.
What? They can't keep getting away with this. Somebody has to
season 4, she takes his body and keeps it in her basement.
Like, because she can't let it go.
No, I've got to go. I've got to go. And
Tony is like, I literally have to exit. But I support you.
Her girlfriend, poor Tony, she's like, I guess whatever you need to do to grieve.
Honestly,
like,
Tony deserves better.
And hopefully she's going to get it because she's brought it up. It's been in the media. They were like, this is the only like main character who's a person of color, basically. And she needs better storylines. Because they just got rid of
And she doesn't get paid as much.
Yeah.
Right?
They just got rid of Josie and the Pussycats after
Josie just disappears.
Josie just disappeared. Well, because they were like, she's gonna be on Katie Keene. But then Katie Keene got canceled after one season.
I only have
a few left. We've basically gotten through everything. I just want to say all the musical episodes.
Give me pain. I'm so sorry. I can't do it. I'm so
they
upset.
They are so
also,
cringy.
None of them can sing.
I think Lily is good. And obviously Casey Cott is good because he's like a musical theater trained actor. But the rest of them. And they make Veronica sing so much.
Yeah.
Because she owns... This is another thing that I had on the list was all of Veronica's business ventures.
Oh, the speakeasy.
Because she owns a speakeasy that they build in the basement of Pop's Diner. And it's like, why is this like 17-year-old girl like have a bar? And then she starts a rum business with Cheryl.
But it's all like to get back at her dad.
It's all to get back at her dad, yeah.
You know what? Go off, Veronica.
However, though, season 4, honestly, I really liked the storyline of Jughead getting into this. It was like a private school.
I did kind of like it. It just took a while to unfold.
Yeah. It takes a while to unfold, but it's the most, I think, cohesive storyline where things actually get answered at the end.
Yeah.
What is the storyline?
All right. So in... We
no,
we
it's
don't
it's
have to
pretty
the lightest version is he gets into this like
prep
elite
school,
yeah, for writing because he really wants to be a writer because that's a whole theme through the show.
And his grandfather, who he's like estranged, has went to this prep school and has like a reputation,
was, like, a big name in it.
Got it.
Yeah. And we start out season 4 hearing that Betty kills Jughead, and so you're like, what?
You're like,
excuse me?
Yeah, what? season 4, it starts with them, like, this flash forward of them, like, burning all their clothes.
And being like, we're not talking about this. We don't want to get
and
arrested.
It's Archie, Betty, and Veronica, and Jughead's not there. And the last thing they throw in the fire is Jughead's hat. So you're like, where's Jughead? Yeah.
So, you're, like, trying to figure that out. And then also this prep school plotline is, going through. But basically, it turns out that it was all... this whole thing that had something to do with them writing murder mystery stories and like whoever writes the best murder mystery story in the class, which I think what ended up happening is there was this weird tradition where they would actually kill somebody. Like it wasn't like they would write a murder mystery in this school. They would actually commit a murder. And that has something to do with Jughead's grandfather, which is why he's not there. He's alive. He's not dead, but he like got.
Well, there's this legacy of these books that were written by one of his grandfather's classmates.
Yes, he's like a famous
writer.
And
Jughead gets gifted the first book from his grandfather, like randomly for his birthday, and he basically figures out that his grandfather is the real actual author of the book that started this like, series that's like a bestseller, made tons of money, and like basically he finds out there's this legacy of ghostwriters that goes to the school. So if you like win this competition, you get to be the next ghostwriter. But yeah. Jughead's trying to win, but he's also trying to prove that it was his grandfather who started it. But the headmaster at the school is like creepy and crazy and is like, no, no, no.
And all the kids are assholes. Okay. Fucking Brett. The kids are all
assholes. And then, Brett. Jughead's favorite teacher jumps out the window
and dies.
And so he's trying to figure out what happened. And everyone's lying to him.
It's like very shady and scary and complicated.
Yeah. And so they basically figure out that like the kids in this writing group are gonna try to kill Jughead.
Which they use like dark Betty manipulation.
Yeah, they try to manipulate Betty into doing
it. She has like a weird code word from the farm that triggers dark from Betty. From the farm that when they hypnotized her.
So the kids in the group basically they find that they know this. So they try to get Betty to kill Jughead by hitting him in the head with a rock in the forest. Yes. And so basically the good guys foil the plan, but then they
keep it a secret.
They fake Jughead's death.
So that
I just want our listeners to know that Karen and I have both been looking at this Zoom, and we've just been, our fingers are like crossed together, looking at Madeline and Aaron like they're fucking crazy people. Anyways,
I will be honest, I have lost the thread. I'm sorry for that.
So
however,
let's just say the whole first half of the season, there's these flash forwards where you think that Jughead is really dead and you think that Betty might have killed him. And then once we catch up with those, you learn that Jughead is alive. They faked his death in order. And so they're trying to, that Jughead is dead, quote unquote, Betty is trying to figure out how she can reveal the truth and like get these kids.
Yeah. And like the writer guy at the school too is.
And the teacher at the school who like let this all happen.
Yeah, so that's like the loose and encouraged plot line. It ends up going well, I think.
Yeah, they win. It's all good.
It's like a good, and it's like a nice
But then these like mysterious videotapes start showing up and I don't think there's been an explanation for that. Yeah,
like somebody's recording people's houses and like going into their rooms while they sleep, but it's not like nothing's really happening.
Oh no, they also get a recording that's like these people in these masks that look like Betty and Jughead, and Betty hits Jughead in the head with a rock and kills him.
Yeah.
Of the video. So they're like, how do they know about this? So that's basically season four. Yeah. But then also there's also a plot line where Cheryl's mom like starts a brothel.
Yeah.
Basically.
But that's like a low plot line.
That's like a low plot line. Yeah. Not low.
Imagine that that's just like a low plot line.
Like, so irrelevant. You really
That's just like
it.
A that's like a C plot.
Yeah. Maybe even D.
But that's the C plot. Like that is insane to me. That someone's mom is starting a brothel.
Cheryl Blossom's in like this mom, normal town. Juliana, it makes sense.
Okay, next subject. Thank you.
One thing we did forget to mention is that the farm is actually an organ harvesting place. What they were really doing
was like stealing their organs. Yeah.
And Cheryl Blossom ends up buying like Betty and everybody to try to kill them, but they don't end up getting killed.
Yeah. Yeah, there's this one scene where, like, they're trying to drag. No, they literally are, like, I think they're trying to, like, lobotomize Betty in this one scene. And it's Kevin also gets Kevin indoctrinated into the cult, and he tries to drag Betty to be lobotomized.
Yeah. Kevin's, like, a big...
His best friend, supposedly.
Big proponent of the farm, even into season four. It's really unfortunate.
It's really sad. And because Kevin just wants to find love.
He does. And then they did him dirty.
And they do him so dirty.
There's no possible way for me to know how to react to this, so. Like, the organ thing broke.
Wait, this is one last thing I want to add, and this is for Juliana to know. Andy Cohen guest starred in season two as himself, and when he comes down from New York to hang out with Veronica's mom and give her some advice, and it's also, one of the lines is that he offered her a spot on Real Housewives of New York, but she politely declined.
Yes, he did. Got that Roni spot.
LOL.
And I'm like, Madeline, do you have anything else that we might have missed?
I have a single thing to add.
Okay, amazing.
So, in season four, there's this whole subplot that Archie and Betty start to have feelings for each other. And you're like, why is this happening? Jughead but has both faked like... his death. It's crazy. And okay. So then, in the end of season four, he writes a song for Betty, and she's like, no, we can't do this. And so they stop. I think all they do is, like, kiss once or twice.
They kiss, yeah.
And then in season five, the first episode of season five. Oh, my God. Veronica digs up the song out of the trash and is like, Archie, oh, my God, you wrote this song for me. And he's like, oh, don't talk about it. It's bad. It's bad. Don't look at it. And he puts it back in the trash. And then she learns it. And she sings it in public at her speakeasy. And Betty looks at Archie like, what the fuck?
Oh, my God.
She knows. That's all I wanted to say.
That's so amazing. That's amazing.
Dudes who are down bad.
So that's Riverdale, y'all.
That's Riverdale. There's like, yeah.
There's like so much more we Jesus could say.
So. There's so much more.
Karen, now you know how I feel after every single one.
I do. But what I will also say, what I'm taking away from this is that I think I might really enjoy Riverdale.
It is really fun to hate watch.
Like, this is the kind of camp that I strive for in my work.
Well, this is like one of my original podcast ideas in like when starting a podcast was like just the idea was like starting to percolate in my head was like, I want to do a podcast where I try to explain episodes of Riverdale to people who have never watched
that
it.
That was the idea that we had.
Well, I feel like we could do a little special extra one where you go in depth on the plot line. I missed about half of what just was
it's
said.
It's so hard to explain. Because also there's so many characters. There's also so many things that happen with, like, the adults that we, like, couldn't really get into.
Listeners, if you would like to hear us talk about that, if you would like Madeline to come on again for that episode, or just, like, any other episode, please email us, DM us, let us know. I would certainly like to have Madeline.
Or if you said to yourself, like, I never want to hear this woman's voice again, also let us know.
Also, you're lying to yourself. Yes, you do. That's it for today's episode. Special thanks again to our producer and our wonderful guest, Madeline Parks, and also our music producer, Kiara Negroni. You can follow us on Instagram at @formerfangirlpod and on Twitter at @formerfan_pod. You can also email us at formerfangirlpod@gmail.com.
You can find me, Erin, on Instagram and Twitter at Erin Browning with an extra G on the end.
You can find me, Karen, on Twitter and Instagram at @KJessicaStewart.
And you can find me, Juliana, on any social media platform at Juliana Mance. That is at @GIULIANAMANC. And you can find me on my website at www.julianamancini.com. That is www.GIULIANAMANCINI.com. Bye,
friends!